It's time to de-winterize your RV and hit the road. That's right, it's that time of year. So in today's episode, we're going to not only be talking about that, but we're going to talk about enjoying the RV life, which today we're going to discuss Wheels of Fortune, the road to income for RVers. So how to make a few bucks on the road to support your traveling. And in the next stop, we're going to talk about an amazing adventure in Magoo State Park in California. And then finally, we're going to wrap it up with RV Envy and talk about RV water filters. And that will coincide with a video that we have on YouTube. So all sorts of stuff to look forward to today. So this is Eric Stark with the Smart RVer podcast, delivering the smarts you need to enjoy the freedom of the RV lifestyle without the fear of breaking down. Today is episode 146, so let's jump right into it. Alexis, welcome to the show today.
Thanks, Eric. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to be here. We love that. She got a smile on her face, ready to go. So now remember in, I don't know if it was the last episode, so it'd be 145 or 144, we talked about first aid kits.
Mm-hmm, we did.
All right, so I misguided you and had you put some information on our stuff that was wrong.
Uh-oh.
When you start bleeding, you're supposed to just bleed out. No, just kidding. I said to look at Jace Medical for, like, medical supplies, like first aid type stuff. I was wrong. It was My Medic. I got the two confused.
Oh, I see.
So that's a correction. So if you were looking at Jace Medical going, oh, boy, what is Eric on, man? That doesn't make any sense. Jace Medical is antibiotics, things like that, that you would keep with you in case of a problem while traveling, you know. Go to their website, or actually go to our website and use the link to go to their website. You can also save 10 bucks. We have a coupon code as well, Smart First Aid. And then also My Medic is the website to go to for first aid supplies. And again, we have a link on our website. It'll also be in the description of this podcast as well. So sorry for that confusion if it threw you off, if you went and looked. Jace Medical is just another thing that'd be great for RVers or travelers in general. So that's it, all the corrections. So now, as a reminder, show us some love and go to YouTube and check out our channel. Got great videos there. Got one that got a lot of traction about not buying an RV in 2024. You've already heard it, but it's just a short we did. Great response. Some people are already just done with buying new RVs because they don't want to deal with the problems.
Yep.
Jump right into enjoying the RV life. Talk about Wheels of Fortune. So let me introduce Pat Sajak.
Hello, Pat.
He's not here today. Darn it. All right, so Pat Sajak is not here, but it's actually Wheels of Fortune, the road to income for RVers. So now a lot of RVers get it. There's ways to make money on the road. But I do want to say this. You know, there's a new law that just passed that is outlawing gigs or side hustles. So you got to look at that before you start doing something, or maybe you're
already
doing something. I don't know all the details, but that's a new law.
For everyone.
For everyone.
Crazy.
So I don't know how that affects everybody doing side gigs or side hustles or whatever.
Really.
You know.
Better look into that.
Teacher that doesn't make a whole lot that's doing some stuff on the side, you know, to make ends meet. I don't know.
What?
But talk to your accountant. He should know, or she should know.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to making some money.
I got to talk to my accountant real fast, Eric.
Yeah. Anyway, so by the way, this isn't a side hustle. This is just part of a business.
Okay. I see.
Nonprofit. And change website to .org instead of .com.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
All right. So, Alexis, you've done some research, and this article is on our website. It's under Enjoying the RV Life, and the title is Wheels of Fortune, Unleashing the Road to Income for RVers. Mm-hmm. So what takeaways did you get from this?
Well, there's so much opportunity depending on the level of how involved you want to be in doing any kind of work while you're on the road, whether you want to be kind of, you know, splitting it with a full-time job, maybe a remote job, or you want to just do a few things on the side. Like I like that it's said, we could do campground hosting. So that works right into where you are. Mm-hmm. You know, you are camping, you're there. So it might not even feel like a job if you're going to do that. That might be really, you know, ideal for some people, especially retirees. That might be a really good thing. You can do that, or you can do a mobile business. So maybe you don't want to be so involved with other people in the campground. Maybe you want to be, you know, in your RV doing your own thing. So there's a lot of leeway there, which I appreciated learning about.
Right. See, campground hosting has been around for a long time. That's a cool way to go if you have a decent
income,
whether it's retirement or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That just kind of supplements because you get free rent, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. And maybe some other things. Yep. I know a lot of people that way. But, you know, when I was looking at, so this list, we're not going to go through everything. We don't have the time, but a good internet connection is something you must have for almost everything you're going to do.
Exactly.
Even if you're going to do a mobile RV repair, you got to have internet.
Yeah, it limits where you can go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've got to look into that. And,
yep.
And don't start out cheesy.
Buy
something while we'll upgrade down the road.
No.
If you're going to do it, make sure you have reliable internet.
Very important.
You know, Starlink has come around now. I think they've got an RV version, and there's some other ones we've talked about, like Magnetech and
Magnadyne. Magnadyne.
And there's some others. There's another one I can't think of it. Very high-end internet, but that's what you want. You want good internet.
Yep, exactly.
And sometimes it's expensive up front, but that's part of running a business.
Exactly.
It's expensive, you know. So RV mobile or mobile RV service would be a good thing for a lot of RVers if they have that inclination, because you're there, you're where RVs are, even if it's not a super hot spot, just being there. Like if you went to Yellowstone for 2 weeks and you put up a sign RV repair, you'd probably be pretty busy.
Oh, I'm sure.
And what's nice about some of these places, and don't get me wrong here, it's like a MASH unit. People just want to get it fixed to get back on the road.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you want to do it right, but sometimes they're like, you know what? We can't get this done right now. Just make it work, you know?
It's like a spare tire. You're just getting from point A to point B.
Slap it on and let us get out of here.
Yep, exactly.
But, you know, you can write about your adventures. You can take photography or pictures and put them online. You can sell the images.
Yep.
You could do a vlog, which is, you know, video blogging, basically.
Yep.
Freelance work, do whatever you can from home, or I mean from the RV, just with an internet connection.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of jobs, seasonal work.
Mm-hmm. Be creative with it, yeah.
If you just want to go someplace during the summer, but you want to help offset that, look at the campground hosting, or maybe a job at a local store of some kind, restaurant. Maybe your expertise is cooking.
Exactly.
You know, and they hire people like that. They know you're not going to stick.
They do.
So their expectation is just show up, take care of your job, and get out of here when the season's over.
Exactly. And there's always a little village or a town close by, usually, so you can find something.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool way to make some money while you're out traveling and having a good time, you know? And obviously, it's not for everybody, and maybe not everybody has to, but I know some people do it just to stay busy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, in Arizona, we hired a guy every year. He came, Leo, and he just wanted to keep busy. It wasn't so much about the money. He just loved doing stuff and helping people, you know? So we worked around a schedule. It worked out great, you know? Really great guy, too. So it's nice. Whatever works for your schedule is really what it boils down to and what your circumstances are.
Yep.
Okay, now let's get into staying on the road. So it's time to de-winterize your RV and hit the road. Spring is here. Summer's going to be right around the corner. Winter has flown by. You know, one thing we always do every winter, the beginning or fall, we start to, or at least me, mentally, I'm going to put this off because that can be a winter project. Then we get busy with all these other things that really didn't get done during the summer. So winter projects become almost impossible to get done. And so then you're fighting that. So sometimes, you know, winter holds back a lot of things that you want to get done. But now spring is here and you want to use your RV. You have to de-winterize it. You have to get it ready to go on the road. It's not something you can kind of skirt around. You know, it's out in the yard, giving you that mean look, de-winterize me. And you're like running from it. No, no. You got to do it. Your family's counting on you. because they want to hit the road too, man. Everybody's stir crazy. They want to get out of the house, or at least for the areas where it's colder in the winter. I know some places, Southern California, Arizona, you know, it's summer all year round, basically. So it might not be as urgent, but you might not have done any traveling because, again, it's winter time. A lot of places aren't worth going to. It's not the same. You know, it's crucial that you dewinterize properly, and it's not just dewinterizing the RV. It's checking out the RV at the same time. But if you live in those areas where you had to winterize it using RV antifreeze or blowing out the system, you want to make sure that before you undo that, that it's staying above 32 degrees at night, or at least it's not below 32 degrees for any length of time where it's long enough to freeze the water lines or fittings or faucets or so forth in your RV. So you have to wait to that point. And sometimes you get a little rushy. Like, I know our temperature up here looks like it's going to be in the 50s for the next week, but you know what? I'm going to wait because I know there's going to be another cold snap and it's going to be below 32 for a while, a few nights here and there. And I don't want to have to winterize again, then dewinterize, you know, I have better things to do. So if you can't wait to actually do the RV antifreeze, there's other things you can do outside of the RV, but you might want to just wait and do it all at once because you do need to have the water or the antifreeze out of the system to really thoroughly dewinterize your RV and check everything out. So it depends on how you've done it, where you live. You know, if you blew it out, then you don't have as much to do. You don't have to drain that. It's just letting the air out, basically. If you have a motor home, we're going to talk about that a little bit too, because the house portion is pretty much the same as a trailer, but you have a chassis, which changes it some. You know, really, when you think about dewinterizing, it's more than just draining the antifreeze and putting some water in. It's more than that. You need to check the entire RV at this time. Now's the time to do it because you're coming out of winter storage. You're ready to hit the road. Your family's counting on you. They say, hey, we want to go make some memories, and we're counting on you. Or they might say it differently, but that's what they mean to say in a nice way. So you need to check the RV. But let's start with the fresh water system. Draining the fresh water system and getting water in there, then you can check the rest of the RV, or getting that out of the way, then you can just check the rest of the RV for problems that maybe have crept in during winter storage. So this process is going to depend on how you winterized. If you use RV antifreeze, then it's going to apply more to that. But the principles are there. You know, everything we talk about is all based on principles. Whether you have a motorhome or a trailer, it's always the same. Heck, it'll apply to anything you own, really, your house. It's always principles. Remember that. You're going to drain the water system. And you're going to drain out all that antifreeze and get out as much as you can. So you're going to want to go inside and open up the faucets, open up the toilet valve. You're going to want to get all the water out of the system. And as I said, the faucets, the toilet, and so forth, open up those valves. That allows the air, the water, to drain freely. So you get all that out. And then you're going to put water back in the system. And you're starting from scratch. So you're going to have to walk around and open up each faucet as you're filling the RV, whether it's from the tank or from city water, to make sure you get all the air pockets out, air bubbles, and the same with the water heater. Get all of the air out of the system. And once you get that complete, now you can check the system for leaks. But I might add that if you hook up city water or turn on the water pump, it might be good to have another person in the RV helping you do that, especially if you're turning on city water and now it's pressurizing the system. You want to have someone in there to make sure that water's not spraying out of something that broke and now flooding the bathroom and you don't really think about it. And then you get distracted. Someone calls you and you're on the phone for 5 minutes and then you notice water's dripping out of the floor of your RV. Uh-oh. So if you have someone in there, they can at least say, hey, turn the water off and you can shut it down, go inside, see where that possible leak is, and then take care of that. And that's one thing you have to do is check for leaks. And if there are leaks, fix them one at a time. And if you winterize correctly, it still doesn't mean there might not be leaks. We hear it all the time. People have blown or put antifreeze in, blown it out. They've blown it out, then put an AMA, do everything, and then there's still a little bit of water that sticks someplace, especially toilet valves, especially Dometic 310 toilet valves, and it breaks it. It doesn't take much. and then they're buying a new valve. So make sure everything is nice and tight and there's no leaks. Check the water pump, the strainer, get a flashlight, poke your head in cabinets. Be very thorough because you could have a minor leak and not really notice it for a while. And maybe it's a leak that was already there and it's just still there. Didn't it go away over winter? Imagine that. And use a flashlight because a flashlight makes it easier to see water when it's dripping, dropping off of something. It has that reflective value, so it's more visible. And it's easier to find, hard to find leaks that way as well. So have someone in there and then just start working your way through the water system. And sometimes it's going to take a little bit longer than maybe you want, or you think it's kind of mundane, but you need to do it. That way you know you've got it out of the way. Everything's checked. And so at that point, you've done the water system. So you can turn all that off, do whatever it is you're going to do. You could drain it, do whatever it is, how you prepare your RV is up to you. So that system's good. It's out of the way. So while you're in the RV, you know, you can check the interior lights to make sure they all work, which, you know, if a bulb's out, it's not a big deal. It's looking for the other things that are bigger, you know, like a bad light fixture that has to be replaced, or maybe a broken wire that's going to it, things like that. You can plug your RV in, check the microwave, make sure your slide outs go in and out okay. Make sure the converter's charging the battery or batteries. Basically doing a nice thorough inspection inside. And don't forget to look at the ceiling, and especially inside the cabinets, the upper cabinets. Open up the doors, peek inside and look up and make sure that there's no stains in there, no signs of water damage, it's not wet. Because sometimes we don't look there, we forget about it, or maybe someone's loading a cabinet thinking that, oh, you must know that, maybe it's your wife, and sees it, but doesn't say anything because they assumed you already saw it, then it just goes unchecked. So sometimes that communication can be a problem. If we don't notice something, someone else might, but they might think you already saw it. It happens, you know? So that's where really checking things out, looking for that water damage, because, you know, the roof protects the RV. If you got a bad roof, you're going to have a bad RV if you don't take care of it. And again, we see it here all the time. It's one of the major things that causes so much damage in an RV is that roof. Unless you have an older Forest River with that diamond plate along the side. We won't go there. Another problem, but. So look inside all the cabinets, you know, check underneath the sofas or chairs, just everywhere in the RV for any kind of damage that could have crept in from water, rodents, who knows what. You know, odd things happen to RVs when they sit for several months at a time, even in the wintertime. And so the weather should be good enough for you to be able to check the air conditioner too to make sure it's working. And you might want to clean the filters at this time if you didn't do it before you put it into storage. So do that while you're in the RV. And, you know, don't forget to check the stove to make sure all the burners work, that the oven lights, check your furnace to make sure it's coming on and heating up. You know, you might be thinking you're going to summer. You don't need to worry about the furnace. Well, it depends on where you live. Here in Montana, some of these northern states, it gets cold at night, and the furnace definitely helps. Even in the summer, it gets, some areas gets pretty cold at night. And if it doesn't work, it's up to you. You could let it sit until wintertime when you might need it, or maybe you never use your furnace, so you don't care. But I don't know if I'd let it sit. I'd take care of it, I think. I'd look at it like if you wanted to sell the RV, all of a sudden you'd have to do it. If for some reason you did need the furnace, found yourself someplace where you normally aren't, and it doesn't work, and now you're calling someone to come out and repair it unexpectedly, it could cost a little extra money, be an inconvenience. And it's always good to just keep everything working anyways. RVs that sit, and one thing is left, another thing is left, another thing is left. Pretty soon it's just a box and where nothing works on it. Check the propane system for leaks. Now, if you're not comfortable with checking your propane system, you could take it to a service center and let them inspect it and check for leaks. Although, you know, a lot of it's visual, and a lot of it can be done with the liquid LP leak detector that you just daub onto the fittings. You know, a shop might use a sniffer, electronic sniffer, But it works the same way. The sniffers are better in some cases, especially if there's a really hard to find leak. But, you know, more than likely you're not going to have a problem if you've been maintaining your RV. So if you've been listening to this podcast, we know you've been maintaining your RV because you're the smart RVer, right? So check that out. No propane leaks. That's a bad thing. So you're going to give that interior the once over. You've checked the propane system. Now go outside and check everything outside. And I mean, we can go through everything, but we don't need to. You know, just the basics. Go up on the roof, make sure that none of the sealant is cracking there, where water can penetrate the RV and cause damage. If there is some cracks in the sealant, go ahead and get some lap sealant, assuming you have a rubber roof, and fix the leaks. It might be a good time to just clean the roof as well, and then seal your leaks, and then put on some 303 or some sort of protectant for the roof that Dycor makes or Camco or whatever your favorite is. There's different things for that. If you're going to clean the roof, you might as well clean the AC coils at the same time. Make sure they're nice and clean, a little servicer on the AC. Cleaning the roof is kind of a deal in itself or a project, but it might be better to just do that at the beginning of the season than do it once in the middle or a couple times during the season, depending on where you go. And don't forget to check the tire pressure and the spare. You know, the spare's always looked, man. It's like that red-headed stepchild, as they say. Just, it's a spare. Who cares, you know? Well, you're going to care when it's 2 a.m. and you black out and there's coyotes howling and side of the road and you can't get out of there because your spare is flat, or it looks good and you put it on and it goes flat 10 miles down the road. So take a look at your spare. For the sake of doing it, when you replace your tires, replace the spare. Even if you don't get the same quality, if you buy like Goodyear Endurance tires and they're $250 a piece, maybe you don't want to put that kind of money into your spare, but put a new spare on. It's as old as the other tires, and it goes bad just sitting. I've talked about that endlessly, so I won't go endlessly now, but just make sure you take care of it. And check out your leaf springs. Make sure there's no cracks or unusual wear, that the wires going to the brakes are still good. They haven't cracked. No animals have eaten them. Just look for obvious problems underneath the RV. You know, if the underbelly is dropping down or a strap is hanging, some wires are loose. Just give it kind of a once all. Now, if you have a motorhome, you got the chassis and the house in one unit, so it's a little bit different. So you want to do everything I just talked about for the house, and then you're going to look at your chassis. And now a motorhome chassis is different than a trailer chassis, much more complicated. You got an engine, transmission, fuel tank, suspension, much better suspension than a trailer. But it's there. So if that's something you're going to do, then great. You know what to do. Check everything out. If it's not, then you're going to take it to a service center and have them do it. Ever how you do that, you want to just make sure that it's getting done. Because it's very important on a motorhome that the chassis is maintained as well. Now, the next episode, we're going to talk a little bit more about the chassis on the motorhome and a trailer and the vehicle you're towing your trailer with. But for now, you're going to focus on the trailer and get that puppy into, or the motorhome, and get it into shape. So, you know, the object is to check the RV out, the entire RV, to see where the repairs might need to be done. And now's the time to do it. Even if you're not going to go out for another month, month and a half, now's the time to do it. Get on it. For several months, it doesn't matter. The weather's changing. You know, you probably have the time to do it. If you know that it's coming up, you need to do it. You can spread it out over a couple of weekends. And then you're ready for your trip. You get that thing out of the way. You know, air up the tires. Now, the tires you checked before you went on a trip again. But you know what I mean. Just get that puppy ready. And then when it's time to go, there's less things you have to worry about. And then also in the springtime, shops get busier. So if you have to take your RV in for a repair, you can get it in sooner and get it back sooner than get it in later and get it back in the middle of summer. You know, you don't want to do that. You wanted to get it in sooner rather than later. All right, so I hope that helps everybody with their RV and getting it de-winterized so you can hit the road and make some memories with your family. Okay, so now along with the maintenance, If you have slide outs, don't forget Sun Pro Manufacturing makes slide outs for RVs. You have a 3-year warranty and 5-year warranty and a 10-year warranty. So you can go to sunpromfg.com to learn more about that. And of course, there will be a link in the description in this podcast. Now we are going to head down the road and we're going to go to Magoo State Park in California. Magoo. By the way, that's M-U-G-U. Magoo. That just sounds funny.
I kept saying Mugu.
Sounds, there's a character in Gumby and Pokey Goo or something like that.
Probably.
Oh, well. All right, Alexis. So tell us about Magoo State Park in California.
Well, this place is really cool. I mean, it's hard to not find a good place to RV in California because it's sunny, the ocean's there. I mean, there's a lot of good places. So with Magoo, it's right on the coastline, which again, beautiful. There's a lot of outdoor adventures to take advantage of. There's a lot of good views, pristine beaches, hiking trails, all kinds of wildlife and RV friendly amenities along the way. So you really can't go wrong. I guess there's a lot of bird watching, and that makes sense. Waterfront activities. I'm not really into whatever skidooing, whatever that is in the water, but some people are. There's dolphin and whale watching too, which I thought was really neat. I definitely would like that. Yeah, there's just a lot to do. You can bring your pets with you. A lot of the time, there's pet friendly places to go along there. Lots of local attractions, things to do in Ventura and Malibu are really close, so you can hit those spots. There's a lot.
There is. And so this is Southern California, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And Magoo is about halfway between Oxnard and Malibu.
Oxnard.
Right. And so Ventura's close, too. I think Oxnard is closer. But Oxnard's not as nice as Ventura. Oxnard's, I don't know, a working town or something. I don't know. But anyways, they have a marina there and stuff. And then there's Malibu, of course. But it's a nice area. It's pretty cool. I've been by there a million times.
Yeah.
And it's a cool area along the coast. That whole area along the coast is cool.
Oh, yeah.
San Luis Obispo, that area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's be a great place to start an adventure or incorporate in an adventure if you're going to be in California.
I think so.
Or if you live there and you haven't been there, you know, even though you maybe have been to different places along the coast there, Magoo's unique, you know, it's along the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like Alexis brought up whale watching, some of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You do that from the coast. You don't even have to go out in a boat or anything. You can sit along the coast and see the whales and the animals, the sea life and so forth.
So neat.
Yep. So it is a very cool place, and it's a great place where you can do some day trips. You know, being halfway between two places, there's not a lot there as far as amenities go.
Right.
But it's close enough where you can go do things.
That makes it nice.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can even go to Santa Monica. I mean, that doesn't take very long to go up and down the coast there.
Yeah.
So you can do all sorts of stuff, you know. And, just, you know, farther south you go, you get closer to the city. But there's a lot of things to see there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably in Santa Monica. I don't know. That's up to you. Where you want to go. But there's trails. And don't forget the sunsets. You know, any sunset over the ocean always is very cool.
Can't beat it.
You know, it's different each day.
Mm-hmm.
And it just always has a different color, a different flair to it.
Yeah.
So check that out. Point Magoo, California. Magoo, California.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, that's what the weather reports were. Point Magoo to the Mexican border.
Wow. Okay.
So you learn the weather, the surf conditions, all that kind of stuff. But since I'm in Montana, it doesn't really matter anymore. Right? Okay, and then one more reminder to check out RV Destinations magazine if you haven't subscribed to it or gone to their website. Definitely worth taking a look at. Beautiful magazine, amazing pictures, amazing places. And then again, it's like kind of works with what we talk about in the next stop. It gets you thinking about places you can go. It might not be where you end up, but it definitely gets your mind going and the juices flowing on places you'd like to be. All right, now let's talk about RV water filters in RV Envy. I just did a YouTube video that's pretty comprehensive on water filters, so I'm not really going to talk too much about this, but I will put a link to the video in the description of the podcast. And it is on YouTube under our channel, The Smart RVer. So every RVer should have a water filter, regardless of where you're at. Even if it's a basic water filter, it might do the bare minimum, but getting just the bare minimum out of the water sometimes is better than nothing. It can take water that's not really that great and make it water that's drinkable. Or it can take really bad water and make it where it's not so bad. And we've been in that situation out camping where water is just absolutely horrible. You put a filter on and now it's bearable. Two filters, like a two filter system, now it's okay, you're not going to drink it, but the odor's gone. It's almost like good water, you know, almost. So water filters sometimes aren't going to give you drinking water, or you might not be comfortable with it, the psychological factor, but it's going to give you much better water for just using. Sometimes it smells so bad, it'll actually run you out of the RV, so it can eliminate that. So check out the video, or just look into getting a water filter or water filters for your RV. You can get a single, a double, a triple. You can get one inline. You can get canisters. A lot of options there. But the other thing, too, is that in the video, I show how it boils down to just three different types of filters. But there's different brands and different configurations, so it's not that complex. So go to YouTube and check it out. Just go to YouTube and search for The Smart RVer. And bam, there we are. All right, now that brings us to the end of the show today. Next week, we are going to have episode number 147. Or in 2 weeks from now, episode number 147. Are you and your RV ready to hit the road? If not, let's get it ready for the next great getaway.
There we go.
So that's coming up in 2 weeks, episode number 147. So I want to thank everybody for stopping by today and listening to the show. Alexis for her next stop and enjoying the RV life, how to make some cash on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all about that money. All right, everybody. So thanks for stopping by and listening. This is Eric Stark with the Smart RVer Podcast. It's been great hanging out with you. If I don't see you on the road, let's connect at thesmartrver.com.